this is the workshop, actually, work session that being held for the first time sort of on an experimental basis before the conventional PhD regular agenda meeting. So this work session will is planned to go between 2 and 3, and the regular meeting will then commence at 3. I want to mention that one of the goals is to accommodate legal counsel at 5 p.m. in the context of the executive session. So I'd advise the commissioners to have your cell phones on airplane mode. This is a work session, as I mentioned, on November 28, 2018, at the Frank Wilson EMS building here in Friday Harbor, Washington State. So, Pam, let's start the work session. And
okay.
You have a handout here. Well, tell us about it.
I did. At the last meeting, or two, the has been brought up that the district doesn't have a five-year plan. So since the medical center has sold, this is the perfect time to start doing one of those. Also, last year, EMS went through their strategic planning period. Theirs is a three-year plan, but a great deal of time was spent with commissioners, EMS personnel, and I was in attendance of those meetings too. And what the product that was gained from that was the summarized in this colored packet that you have. And it was always at the previous board makeup, they wanted to finish this before they tackled district things. So that happened. They finished this. So now we are looking at the district side of things with a plan. And then on the black and white portion is the same handout as the colored one. It's just that I went through and read over all of the summary plan, and a lot of the things that were produced during this strategic plan can be used for the district. EMS is part of the district, and so the things that I highlighted in yellow, for instance, the main three questions they had were, like on page 2, where are we now, where are we going, and how will we get there? So those are appropriate questions for us to be answering at the district level. And as you go through each page, they spent a great deal of time looking at their mission statement and values, the values and strategies, and a lot of these things can be or should be part of the district values. The only thing is that underneath, like the for the strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats, they spent a great deal of time going through what those might be for EMS, but we should go through them as, you know, what they are for the district purposes, to kind of segment into that. So this was just my thoughts on reading through what their plan was on some of the things that we might need it. You know, I think the vision statement, where we exceed the expectations of our unique island community, I think that's an appropriate same vision statement. But when you get to mission, we serve our community before, during, and after an emergency. Ours should be, we should come up with what our district appropriate mission is. And then on I'm looking at page 6, where it has the triangle, the inverted triangle, and it has strategies, community engagement, patient-centric, one team, management systems, financial stewardship. Those are all good strategies, but underneath how you get to those, we would need to spend time, I think, doing what we as a district would have underneath those to accomplish those. And then they spend a lot of time on values with trust, respect, teamwork, safety, and commitment, which I think, you know, we should adopt at least the same values. I mean, we want to add to them, but I don't think we should deviate and have just a whole separate new plan versus what was already, you know, come up here, but just take this as a basis and then add to it, change what we need to change and think about for the district going forward. I mentioned you wanted 5 years. This is 3 years for them. If you look out 5 years, when I try to look out 5 years, and what we're dealing with right now, it's got a lot going on there. So, you know, we might have some if-then happenings, you know, to have to look at what might be happening in 5 years, because right now we don't know if UMass is going to go under fire or not, or if that makeup is going to change. And of course, if that changes, then our district, what we're doing in the district, will change. So that's kind of, you know, one big if happening. So I think we would have to kind of do a lot of visioning and what, you know, might happen, different things, because we don't know.
Then why don't we do a 3-year plan then?
We can do that. That's what this work session is about. I thought this would be a great time to look at it and decide, you know, what we want to have the district concentrating on, and also for us to have a focus of what we want to accomplish for our community and our residents. And you know, we have not only the EMS fire merger potential there, we're working on the long-term nursing care, and that will be an ongoing thing, and I think the district will be heavily involved in that, always, I think, but, you know, to the degree of how we're going to do that, that hasn't been determined yet, and it really would be changed a great deal if EMS went under fire. Then, you know, we would have more time, to focus on that. So there's a lot of things we can start with and look at. But I think it's important that now that the medical center is sold, it's the end of the year. We start out 2019. We won't have the medical expenses from that. We won't be spending time on that. And it's a good time to focus on what we want to accomplish the district.
Question from the audience.
Yes.
I was wondering if there's copies of that.
I don't have copies of this, but I can get them for you.
If get them later, but mm-hmm. not
sure.
Your discussion.
Yeah. I think that's actually online.
Huh? I have access to. It doesn't have her notes on this one, but you guys want this?
This is online, you said?
I'd love it.
This is also on the district website.
If we could have it while you're talking, that would be helpful.
Okay.
So, Pam, part of the job description, I think it said something about a strategic framework that the superintendent works on. What does that mean, the strategic framework? Is that part of this?
Where are you looking for that?
It was in your job description, actually.
Oh, in my job. Yeah. Well, that's the part of what the district as a whole, you know, what are we working on from, you know, meeting to meeting, and as far as a year, you know, we look at a year pretty frequently of what we're doing for a year, but we have not looked out 3 years at a time or 5 years at a time.
So do we have anything like that in?
No, this is the first time the district has ever done a strategic plan for more than 1 year. So
the strategic framework.
Framework
just
is
means
just
a day to day.
Right.
Day-to-day.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, I think the timing is perfect, particularly since the medical center is sold. That's always been a big unknown for us. And I participated in all these, what was it, five work sessions plus ancillary special meetings thereafter to the tune of $50,000, I think. And I don't think we need to do that again. I think we can take a lot, like you said, Pam, mm-hmm. from Tom Vandenbark's structure and fill in the blanks from the perspective of the hospital district. I think it's a wonderful place to start. I would not advocate spending money for formal workshops. I think that's mm-hmm. unnecessary. What I would ask you and Nathan is between now and the meeting in on the 19th of December, if we had another work session, could you flesh out some of the things that you alluded to, Pam, like the potential involvement of the hospital district with regards to restoring the services lost from the demise of the Life Care Center of America, et cetera, and get the commissioners thinking about that and sort of embracing the whole concept in terms of not only using Tom Vandenbark's structure, but also in realizing, probably in more depth than folks realize now, that other endeavors that we might be mm-hmm. involved with. I mean, I have been personally, but you know, there are things that are right on the horizon, I think, of really morphing into much bigger, broader changes in terms of involvement of the board. So, mm-hmm. could we do that?
Sure, and I also think during this process, you know, we need to have a town hall or some kind of a forum for the community to also, you know, tell us, you know, what are they wanting for the future, for now and the future.
So why don't we just connect with the CCC? And ask them to put forward three or four things that they envision us working on, or I think we might be interested in working on, would be benefit to the community within the parameters of the scope, mm-hmm. our legal scope.
I think we should have both.
Well,
I'm not arguing against
that. That's a good idea to get what yeah. they have, but yeah, I think that.
And the county.
Sure. During the EMS process for it, they had several opportunities for the public to weigh in on things.
What do we think? Now
on.
We have the hospital districts
mm-hmm.
on two other islands.
Mm-hmm.
We're thinking about not being under fire, as you say. I was mm-hmm. going to correct you. But possibly combining with fire, with EMS.
Right.
Who knows, yeah. down the line, it might be that the hospital districts, if we're spinning a lot of the same wheels, maybe they have some ideas what they would like us to do. We're going to be serving
right.
those districts with this hospital.
And I have put out some questions for them. Right now, Lopez is further along in their hospital district development, and so they can give a little bit better feedback right now. The Orchids Hospital District is right in the thick of I think they just set their tax levy rate, and they were having community forums, but it was more for the primary care, after hours care, to get sorted over there with University of Washington. They're still really heavily spending a lot of time, having to spend a lot of time on getting that piece first, so they're not kind of at the point where they want to jump off and do something else. But they're interested. It's just going to, you know, like be, you know, 6 months down the road or a year.
I can always ask them.
Yeah, so I keep including them, and it's easy to include them and ask them when their superintendent is both Lopez and Orcas. So, you know, I can talk to her one time and she can talk to the respective boards. So.
And I think that would be particularly germane with regards to the services lost by the Convalescent Center.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were receiving patients from all over the county.
Right.
And so I imagine the two other PhDs have once they have their sight on that, we'll be joining with us again. So, but as I mentioned earlier, I think we need to get this board up to speed,
mm-hmm.
In terms of just a knowledge base in that. So again, I would ask you and Nathan, in short order, actually, to feed us a lot of information, a lot of different potential projects that we could become involved in the next 3 years or so.
Okay. Right now, the long-term care task force is kind of at a pausing point, and they're about ready to embark on their feasibility study and collecting money for that and everything. So there's not a lot of different options right now until they
but the project itself, if it gets off the ground, it's going to be a huge project.
Yes,
really akin to what it took to put Peace Island Medical Center together,
mm-hmm.
Back in 2005. Feasibility studies the next stage. Mm-hmm. There's involvement at the Inter-Island Healthcare Foundation. Our folks need to know that.
Mm-hmm.
There's a need for $50,000. We need to introduce Jody Corona to this board, and et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
I know you have that, you know,
yeah,
on your thumbs, no problem. But, you know, I know about it, but not everybody sitting here knows about it. And it could be a big deal, a big project, a big commitment from this board.
And not only from the board, but our community members. We need to have community members come forward too that have time to work on some of these things that are set forth from the feasibility study and everything, because it's a lot of time.
Excuse me, ma'am. That is the basic structure that we discussed at the last Healthcare Foundation meeting in terms of a steering committee.
Mm-hmm.
Things of that sort. And I can join with you in putting those documents together if you want. I'll be around.
I'm wondering if it might not be even just a couple months early to have a start on a whole plan. I know that we asked the Citizens Advisory Group to have some kind of information by the end of the year, so that's just a month. And they, you know, from that point, it might be changing.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe maybe just waiting until then. Maybe working on something that would coincide with this. And we talked about the commissioner's job descriptions, mm-hmm. which would also coincide with anybody who's going to run for the position next year, because it's coming, because they have to decide in May. So it would be really nice to have some mm-hmm. information out there. Maybe working on something like that, because it wouldn't change.
Yeah, but that said, there's a lot going on that the board needs to know about. They don't know about it as we sit here today. I do, Pam does, Nathan does. And they have a need to know. Now, whether or not we address that in the short term or that it's going to be pushed aside temporarily by the CAG findings and things like that. We can be flexible. But at least the general information could and should be out there so people can think about it and digest it, ask questions. Lisa.
Do you want to share that with us now? Is this an appropriate time for you to share what you know that Pam knows and Nathan knows that you just did?
It gets pretty involved.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Pam really kind of hit the highlights. We're working on a website for the Inter-Island Healthcare Foundation. That's number one.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, we're working on a press release that is basically the endpoint work product of the task force.
Mm-hmm.
Under the leadership of Evan Perolez, things of that sort.
Mm-hmm. And the press release is, it will have a lot of information in there for the public. It's probably longer than most press releases, but with the information that needs to be shared with the public for them to understand what is happening and what might happen, it needed to have a lot of, you know, the information in there so people could be educated and then have enough information to decide if, you know, what other answers do they need from it, what possibly, you know, they might want to contribute or, you know, do a steering committee part of that. So the press release probably will be out in a week to a week and a half, 2 weeks, and that has a lot of detail, and of course we'll share that with the commissioners when it's finished. It's almost finished.
And the feasibility study, which is going to be done, I mean, that hasn't even been hired out yet, but that's mm-hmm. going to come out with a lot of things, i.e. the governance part of it, mm-hmm. which would tell us a lot of where we're going, which we don't know yet.
And the monetary needs, too. We know.
And sure. a lot of, you know, yeah, the demographics. And
the feasibility study is on the order of 50,000. I mean, it's really very much akin to what we went through putting Peace Island together. We started off with three so-called co-chairs, and then a steering committee with 30 people, executive committee of about 10 people. And right out of the gate, we went out there with our hand open because we knew that the financial contributions made by this community were going to be large, and they were actually matching to those provided by Peace Health. And sure enough, at the end of the day, it was $10.5 million was donated to that project. So I don't anticipate the order of magnitude is going to be even close to that for at least replicating some of the services we lost from the Convalescent Center, but still, it's going to be considerable.
Well, especially if they start building.
What's that?
I mean, if they start building, you know.
Well, that's
and we're looking at all three islands.
Well, look at the animal shelter and what it took to
that's right.
to have collect donations from the community for that. They're a wonderful outfit. It took a long, long time.
Yeah.
And a lot of money.
So what is the breadth that we can spend money on given the confines of our district underpinnings legally?
Yeah, we give about 80% of our money to Peace Health.
So, what do we spend?
About categories, Warren?
What is the breadth of a public hospital district?
You can do anything that's health related to your community. Any health related.
So we will have a budget, and we can project out over the next 4 or 5 years a general budget. Mm-hmm. And we can project out over the next 4 or 5 years generally what we spend, given what we know now, on the different services we're now providing.
Okay.
And then generally, if EMS combines with fire and they do something else, we'll be able to project around that about how much we'd have left over. Maybe we need to start there before we start creating all kinds of programs and find out we can't afford them.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we need to know what we can afford and spend within our budget to do that, and then start looking at programs where we can affect stuff. So in any 5-year program, when I put out my budgets,
right,
I got to know. It's nice to promise.
Yeah, well,
but
right now,
follow through.
You know,
so
our budget.
Maybe we start there of where we'll be in the next 4 or 5 years, assuming some general principles, knowing that it's going to change, but at least it gets it started.
And then there's, of course, all the different levies that you can add. I mean, you know, if the people really want what might come from this feasibility study and everything, I mean, we, as a hospital district, there are numbers of different levies you can
do. Well, then maybe we need to look
do.
At that.
You can do a construction levy.
But levies are only there once they're passed.
Right. But that's how, you know, we're going to generate a lot of money other than the donations. I mean,
that's the way we hope to generate money for this. We have to pass it.
Well,
but we just need to know what our
look
budget
at it.
Is. And then maybe that's what we should look at.
So I think if it is, foreseeable future, would be ideally budget neutral, Warren. There are other sources of fund. Philanthropic, certainly a huge one. This community has been fabulous in terms of supporting so many 501c3 is not even funny. And also grants and aids, it is one of the sidebars on Elisa that should be brought up in this email communication. I requested that Beth Williams-Geiger is working on and tracks like a hawk. And there's potentially a lot of grant money out there just for this endeavor. But in terms of leadership, in terms of organizational involvement, I think it's a natural for this board to be involved. Not necessarily involving our pocketbook, because we don't have, it's actually a question I asked Pam this morning, you know, after we pay the subsidy and the salaries and this and that, how much do we have to spend for things that we don't necessarily predict and things of that sort. And it's not a ton of money, frankly. So, but leadership and philosophical involvement and mission and value and all that is commensurate with what we should be doing, I think. Dr. Moore, any comments, sir?
You're envisioning that the Inter-Island Healthcare Foundation be the primary mover in terms of fundraising and spending?
Another topic of discussion, we have been and had multiple conversations with Kerry and Benko of the Salmon Island Community Foundation in terms of how to structure the collection of money, where to put it, and, you know, how to distribute it and this sort of thing. But I think we are sort of a monolithic healthcare foundation. You know, we're dedicated to the district and to EMS. Where the Salmon Island Community Foundation is has all kinds of branches in that. And so I think to get it off the ground, we would start with the healthcare foundation and potentially join hands with the community foundation because they have a lot of presence. And, you know, so maybe we can have a little of both. That would be great.
Who else? Any other entities in the community?
What's that?
Any other funding entities in the community that could participate?
Not 501c3s. There are a good number of individuals who have approached some of us wanting to know where they should send their donations. So we'll see. We'll see how that plays out. But we're going to start off with a press release so people know that, hey, that the task force, you haven't heard from the task force for a while, well, it hasn't died. It's just it's morphing into a different structure, going to phase two, and then the presence of our healthcare foundation website will help a lot too.
What I'd like to see in this plan, though, big emphasis on mental health.
Yeah, that's those need for that.
Those referendums and initiatives, they don't get passed very often, and mm-hmm. I think from my experience of practicing medicine on this island, the biggest problem we have right now is the mental health.
Yeah, I know PIMC is.
So how are we going to involve those people in our 3 and 5 year planning for their input? How would you suggest we do that?
Well, first to ask what's already being done, and then.
But who? Compass.
Well, there's Compass. There's
paramedicine.
Community paramedicine is already helping some mental.
Yeah.
The Compass has a new, they finally have a representative caseworker working on each island now, where before they haven't had that. They finally got one on each island now to start working with some, you know, cases that they have, can help them for 2 weeks and then, you know, monitor them and help, and then if they need further, they can, you know, get them into other programs that they have, where PIMC is constantly having people come in over there that need mental health help, and, you know, it's the whole country and the state of Washington is limited the help right now. So
second worst state in the union, actually. But mm-hmm. that doesn't answer all the questions. We need
But that's what this is for, is to start. And, you know,
so when we
I don't know I don't have all the answers. I mean,
I'm not suggesting that you should. What I'm asking is how are we going to get that information?
Well, we have to partner with, that's why, you know, we, you know, I'm a member of the Vulnerable Populations.
So we need a list
meeting.
Of...
And there's the family resource, the guide now that has all the resources for here on the island that people can, you know, that's never been before, where people can go on that website, you know, and look. Yes.
Yep.
And, yeah, so we just have to ask, involve everyone that we know on the island, you know, that we're...
So Rebecca brings up a good point that the CAG, by the time they get a final report, is 3 months out.
I don't know.
Well, they're still meeting, they're going to put together a report, I've been to the CAG meetings, they don't move too quickly at the CAG meetings, they have big discussions.
Mm-hmm.
So I expect they're about 3 months out. What can we do over the next 3 months to get the non-CAG interest that we have? Mm-hmm. So we all come together at the same time. So we're not dragging one boat while all the other ones move forward.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how you do that. Do we put out a press release saying we're doing a 5-year plan? We'd like all parties to write us or come and speak to us or develop the town hall. I like the idea of a town hall.
Mm-hmm.
We already have a lot of those, though, from CCC down. I mean, that's what they are all about.
All of the
individual people, the health care and the mental health issues and all of those are already on those committees. So if we wanted to ask them what they need, we could just invite one of them to our meeting.
What about a survey?
Well, that's true, but here's one that's not on anyone's agenda. If you have a psych patient over in the emergency department,
mm-hmm.
there are no psych beds in these islands if they need inpatient care.
Mm-mm.
Trying to get that person off the island
right.
is very, very difficult because you can't fly them. And if you send them by ambulance, you're taking 3 people off island for a day and a half. And it's very expensive. Now, I've been going to the CC meetings. I haven't heard any of that come up. So I think we have to broaden the scope. Early on, I said the CCC, great. But I think we have to broaden the scope, especially mm-hmm. in mental health, because mental health has always mm-hmm. gotten in the far back of the bus.
Right.
Well, you aren't going to hear that at the CCC meeting, so you're going to hear that at the lower level meetings, the community presence.
Yeah, and I hear that at all those.
And those meetings are the meetings that you hear all of that. The CCC is only the oversight committee for funding.
Gary Waters, that works over at PINC, is heavily, you know, for the mental health. I mean, he's an excellent resource. I mean, to sit down with and ask what, because he deals with it every day, and the struggles of doing that.
Are we going to include him in the list to give his input? I'm looking.
Well,
for
I would think so.
Oh, absolutely.
We're going to include everyone that has.
What I want to develop is a work list of who we're going to contact. That's I think where we start.
Okay. Dr. Lauren Johnson has spoken to us concerning this just prior to his retirement,
mm-hmm.
and he has some expertise in the subject area of transportation, particularly with regard to mental patients.
What was the name again?
Lauren Johnson.
Lauren Johnson.
Yeah.
I think Lauren knows him.
Lauren's going to be
sort of wide.
Lauren's going to be pretty tied up in the next couple of months.
Yes.
Yeah. I wouldn't impose on him right now.
Nathan, do you have any insight regarding the CAG and their timeline?
I would say that I think Dr. Appleton's assessment is broadly correct. I would say 3 months or so.
I mean, just from where they are right now,
yeah.
or the last meeting that I was at, they're beginning to form ideas, but the devil's always in the details, and that's not 1 or 2 meetings.
I can say that, you know, based off of the emails I'm getting this week, because I'm looped in on the CAG, you know, they are moving towards resolution, but it will take them a while, I think. So I concur with Dr. Appleton.
Got to go put pepper in your pants tonight. They're worth beating.
Yeah.
Sorry.
The CAG deals with the EMS levy, though. There's no reason we can't deal with the other side of things at the same time concurrently. I don't.
And actually, there's going to be some dynamic interweaving between the two.
Between the
CAG, the considerations of under the wings of the CAG and considerations we have, which are broader, not just potential merger with Fire 3, but
I thought you were on the CAG.
Okay, so Pam, you had a number of potential topics, did you not?
Well, this was a big one. Most people wanted to start talking about this, and it's, you know, it's just the beginning to see what y'all you can do, start at. And then since we are talking about a plan, for present and to the future, I mean, is there... the duties of the commissioners, do you feel like you have the scope of what you need to do? Do you need to talk more between each other of what we're doing, what we could do, what commissioners, you know,
do you
what is your
have
view?
Some of that information, like from the meetings you go to, do they have, you know, do other entities like us have those job descriptions for commissioners?
I haven't seen any, but, you know, they might have some. I've basically just seen the list of all the information, the resource information that's on the website for the Association of Washington Public Hospital District website. You can go under resources, and there's just a lot of documents and things that's where they refer most. But then again, you know, each district is unique in what they're dealing with, so you can't just cookie, you know, cut or stamp that, you know, because you have different problems. You know, we deal with different problems here than, you know, one of the other hospital districts on the mainland closer to city. And, you know, we're struggling to send our mental health patients transportation wise, you know, where they're on the mainland, they can just call somebody down the I-5 corridor to come and, you know, get them and just keep doing. We can't do that. So what we need to possess and work on is different. But
that said, they see issues. That said, it's hard to think about what you can't think about, what you can't think. Mm-hmm. To know the unknown. How do you know that you knew all of the unknown? So maybe what we want to do is contact some other rural districts that might have gone through a five-year plan.
Okay.
They might have a disenfranchised housing or a homelessness program. We are beginning to see homeless people here on the island.
Are
we going to approach that? Is that a healthcare issue? And it might be interesting to see how they put their five-year plan together.
Mm-hmm.
I'm all for plagiarism, as long as it's documented.
So you keep saying five-year plan. I thought we wanted to do three.
If they do a five-year, I'm not going to say send us a three-year. Okay. We did a five-year. Okay. I mean, have they done any long-range planning?
Sure.
So in order to streamline this process, is it worth working on a simple survey that we can send out to, you know, other healthcare providers, agencies, people within the community resource guide, mm-hmm. and also something that we can present to the community?
Mm-hmm.
Just to get some feedback.
Sure. I know a number of the districts use, especially the, what is it, the monkey?
Survey Monkey.
Simple, surveys all the time, mm-hmm. for things when they start doing
a
different
first step.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Ben Linda Google, the executive director of the Association of Washington PhDs, is back now from a long layoff, and he's a fabulous wealth of information, and he might well know, Pam, who's struck a 3 or 5 year long-term plan, number one, and he knows we're different, and most very, very rural outfits are different as well.
Sure.
So he can pick and choose in terms of, hey, these would be more reasonable prototypes for you guys.
Mm-hmm.
So I would hit him up.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I'd like to discuss in the long-range plan, along the lines of not knowing what you don't know, and along the lines of things are changing fast, is how we budget. And if we have a reserve fund that we put in, or all of a sudden, bang, we have a new problem. Let's say we have a major measles outbreak, because no one wants to get vaccinated anymore on the island, or whatever. you know, break into the school with a gun and do that kind of stuff. But, you know, put in our long-range plan the ability to be responsive and not be totally budgeted out. And I don't know how much you put in for that, what percentage of your total budget. I just don't. But I think it's important to have that tool in your toolbox to be able to change courses all of a sudden. All of a sudden we have a new HIV type of thing, or someone goes to the Congo and comes back to Roach Harbor for a wedding and we have an Ebola outbreak before the kids get here. I mean, those kinds of things, emergency planning.
Well, as long as it's not one of those general fund things where, I mean, it would have to be, like, if you don't spend it, it stays. I mean, you don't spend it in something else. I mean, it's very specifically.
Yeah, those are internal discussions for the budgeting. But, I mean, the point is, do we want to put it in? Have other people done it? How do you figure out how you're going to do it? Or just that plan. I'm not saying put 10% of the budget in. I don't know that number. Or if we should even have that and just do something different.
Okay.
I want to underline something Rebecca said earlier with regard to the CHNA. They've done a lot of groundbreaking in this subject area, and I think we should look to their results before we go too much farther. So they've done a lot of work, and it's up targeted, so it's on specific to healthcare in our community. The study's not that old.
They're redoing that this year. I know the health services department they're working on their new community needs assessment, and I think Peace Island just re-looked at theirs for the coming year. We can tap into.
Yeah, I agree with Mark.
What they're looking at.
This will be the third version, let's call it, that's been going on since day one. Since Peace Island opened its doors, it's a wealth of information, multifactorial. And then I've stacked on top of that the CCC, which gives additional insight. But those two considerations, I think, are the top of page one. And also, like Dr. Appleton suggested, let's find out what other PhDs have done. And, you know, like we're drawing from Tom Vanderwark's structure of things, we can draw for theirs if we like it, and not reinvent the wheel.
Okay. Yep, that's a good place to start. Look up, get some feedback from all these different avenues and start with that. There'll be a lot of information.
There should be. Break before the meeting.
Sure.
What's that?
If I don't have anything else you want to talk about before your meeting.
Had to say, specific to the primary topic, more?
Do you have anything else before we break?
So, what's our to-do list for the next, between now and next report?
I'm going to be contacting all the different service organizations and the community needs, the ones that have community needs assessments, and getting what they're working on. Talk to the hospital districts, rural districts, look at what if they've done for a 3-year, 5-year plan, how they approach that. Talk to Ben Lane McCougall, his information. Look into how some of the other districts did their surveys and information they received from that. Look at our budget, the way we just right now, we just have a one line item for what our operating reserve, what we have left in it. We have, you know, we have a miscellaneous line item for $10,000, but then everything else is pretty well budgeted out other than the line item left. Just this year is over 600 and something thousand in that, but whether or not the others have broken that down into reserving some money for other other projects.
Find
Let's
out
see what else.
CHNA, find out when it's going to be updated. I think it's real close.
I think next year for the Health Services Department. They're working on that for next year. Yeah, let's see. So, work list. Yeah, and then maybe looking at that work list. See, I think that is something that you five can start. Thinking about is who on that is on that list. I mean, I'm going to come up with a lot of them because I go to the committee that does the health resources guide. But you interact with a lot of different people and spheres, and you probably can think of some areas where we can get information and. So
we've talked about a general framework for a three-year plan, and we've also talked about some particulars, mental health, transportation, so forth. I think we ought to have one more of the specifics, not to be too Aristotelian about it, but I think we do need to talk about the commissioner job description, especially for the upcoming election cycle.
Sure. It would
be very helpful for everybody to have clarity about what we do, what we don't do. So maybe that would be the grist for another work session.
And I do know the Association of Washington Public Hospital Districts is heavy into their planning and doing coming out with some different programs to add to the one they did last year for the election for the information that the people that were running for the office looked at. I think Annalisa, you looked at that, but they have several other projects on things for potential commissioners and things, so let's see where they are on that and if they get any information from that first.
The Association of Washington City Public Hospital District's manual doesn't have a lot to say there. It describes duties and responsibilities in that sense, but the actual job itself is not well-defined. It's page 11 of the manual. Mm-hmm. I think of our own, since this is a unique district with unique oversights, we need to put something together at last to describe our jobs.
And that would be something I would ask you to participate in, too.
Well, I can participate, but I'm wondering if it would be prudent for you and Nathan, perhaps, to take the lead.
Oh, we can do that. I firmly think we should do that, but I also think you that do the job right now, you should give us some input on what you think your job is, doing, if you have any items that, since you took, your oath of commission, that you didn't entail, you didn't think about that you would be doing, something like you're doing. I mean, because a lot of the people that apply or think about running, they don't know. And that, I mean, I think it is a good idea to do the job description, but I also would like some feedback from the commissioners, too, of what's important to put in there and not.
How soon would you like that? Is there a timeline on that?
Well, we're going to start working on it for the next meeting, but as soon as you have any feedback, just go ahead and send it.
Number one, and number two, I would add to the equation of approaching Ben Lindekugel again. He was due to give us one of his talks, fabulous talks, for this year, but then he had health issues and this and that. So then he might even want to come out and summarize a talk or customize it for us. The guy really knows his stuff. He really does. And so I would add that to your to-do list, would you think?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did.
Thank you.
She's
okay. So let's call it a 10-minute recess. This PhD meeting, a regular scheduled meeting here in the month of November, will reconvene at 3 o'clock.